Welcome to the Fantasy Finessers Podcast. I'm Maddie Wasserman. Thank you guys so much for joining us for our inaugural episode. I'm joined here by Colin Comporter. Colin, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic, Maddie. Thank you for having me on. Talk about some fantasy football. My favorite time of the year is fantasy time, so let's get it going.
Yeah, so we're approaching now. We just had week six of the fantasy football season, so we're getting this podcast underway a bit later in the year, but as we approach this time of year, there's six teams on buys for week seven, so the fantasy season is really getting intense. This is the home stretch when you start to need the depth. There's a lot of injuries. We see players going down every week. You need backups, depth. So it's really a great time of the season to sort of take a step back, get a synopsis of what's going on in the league. And as the rosters, you know, we're starting to dig deeper onto rosters, a time to really dive into the nuances of fantasy football.
Yeah, absolutely. And the teams on bye for week seven, it gets ridiculous real quick.
Yeah. I mean,
we got the Cowboys, Vikings, Bills, Jags, Chargers, and Steelers. There are a ton of fantasy stalwarts.
Yeah, this is not just like the Jets and Falcons on byes. These are teams that have some of the best players in the league on
byes. Yeah, I mean, you got Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert as your quarterbacks. You need to find a quarterback. I mean, Najee Harris, Zeke Elliott, Dalvin Cook. I mean, all these guys, James Robinson, Austin Eckler are on bye right now. And I mean, you got to be able to, I mean, in one of my leagues, my entire bench is on bye, and that includes my entire starters are on bench on bye. That includes Dalvin Cook, Emmanuel Sanders, and Josh Allen, people like that. So you gotta find people to, and like you said, to really make your augment your lineup at this point, and the waiver wire is obviously the place to do that right now.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to get into the waiver wire in a second, but I think where we want to start out for today is evaluating some of the top performances of last week, because there was a lot of good ones. I mean, it was an overall pretty interesting week of fantasy. We had three games going to overtime, so that, of course, boosted the points. But let's take a look at just some of the main fantasy storylines of the past week, one of them being DeAndre Hopkins, who scored two touchdowns, but he had only four targets in the game. So for those of you here that, if you're taking the time here to listen to fantasy football, you're probably more into it than some other people in your league. So if you can now take the fact that DeAndre Hopkins had two touchdowns in this game, use that to your advantage. Go out and get rid of Hopkins, because he had four targets in this game. AJ Green right now is out targeting DeAndre Hopkins. Now, obviously, you know, we can ridicule what's going on with the Cardinals offense. I mean, they're undefeated, so it's hard to poke too many holes into them. But I think right now for Hopkins, he's just not seeing the volume he was seeing even last year in his first year in the Cardinals with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, absolutely, and this is an offense with so many mouths to feed, especially in the passing game. I mean, you can say Chase Edmonds, AJ Green, Rondale Moore now, Christian Kirk, and DeAndre Hopkins. One of his touchdowns was a complete busted coverage in the end zone.
Yeah.
He was just standing there all alone. And right now, he's the number 10 wide receiver in standard leagues, 13 in PPR. You can probably get, you know, a lot of stuff from him, especially with his name value. And as DeAndre Hopkins and on the Cardinals in a high flying offense where, you know, you're not necessarily going to get the targets, but they are high-value targets, and you could probably, as we say, finesse DeAndre Hopkins into someone better.
Yeah, you got to finesse the other people in your league, because the name value, and I think that's such an important part, and there's a lot of times we see name value, and another guy I want to harp on the name value of is Miles Sanders, because, I mean, this is a guy that was going in the late second round, early third round of drafts this year, and he's just been pretty brutal. I mean, this is a guy who has not scored a rushing touchdown or receiving touchdown the entire season. This is running back 29 right now on the year. Miles Sanders, at this point, like, are we going to get anything out of him? You know, we were talking about Jalen Hurts has been great in fantasy in spite of the Eagles not being a good team. Miles Sanders has not been good in either. He's just not getting a lot of carries. So where do we go from here with a guy like Miles Sanders?
Yeah, I think you got to consider, like, what are you going to get for this guy? It might be best just to hold and hope he gets a good game, but this offense is brutal, like you said. Jalen Hurts is a good fantasy quarterback, 20-plus points in every game this year, but he is not does not pass the eye test. And I mean, Miles Sanders is an electric talent. I mean, he was behind Saquon Barkley at Penn State, but then you know, he has flashed in his limited work this season, and then obviously last season he was fantastic. That's why he was drafted so high. And I mean, 9 carries last week, 11 carries, 7 carries, 2 carries. Like, he's not being utilized, and they're not the Eagles. They're not playing to the strengths of this offense, which Jalen Hurts just takes the snap, looks around, and then just runs into a brick wall. That's all he does.
Yeah.
And he occasionally gets the touchdowns, which helps for fantasy. But Miles Sanders, I mean, he's playing Vegas. Then he gets the Lions. So maybe he'll get a solid 15 or so point fantasy week, and you can try to trade him.
And if you get that 15 points, that's what you'd hope for. And that's why you hold on to a guy like him. Not because you think that this is going to be a league winner. It's because you're hoping that if you can get one good week out of him, then you can go take someone else in that league and unload him, because he's obviously been a huge disappointment. The next guy I want to get to that really intrigues me is Jonathan Taylor. Absolutely. Jonathan Taylor, I mean, you go right and you look at his game log. In the last 3 weeks, he's gotten 20.4 against Miami, 31.9 against Baltimore, 28.8 against Houston. And you're saying, all right, this is the guy you drafted in the first round. Those are the stats. But what you miss in just seeing the numbers of that is that he's had just enormous plays. He had the reception, obviously that massive 70-yard reception in the first quarter against Baltimore last week. He had the huge 80-yard run downfield against Houston this week. So within those points, you're getting these massive chunk plays, the singular play in each of the last 2 weeks that have gotten him to this total. But I think for Taylor, is this a good time to sort of unload Taylor because of what his situation has been like? And you have Nyheim Hines, who's taking so many of those passing attempts away. And Taylor might be one of the best running backs in the league. And this is kind of like the Nick Chubb conversation. Taylor may be one of the best running backs in the league, but for fantasy, are you relying on him too much to get one huge play on the ground or break something? Is he touchdown dependent because of his circumstances?
Yeah, you know, Taylor is the kind of guy that after week one, he didn't necessarily provide on the touchdown front, but he had 6 catches for 60 yards, and that's exactly what you want to see. And then obviously as the year has gone on, 1 catch, 1 catch, 3 catch, 3 catch, 1 catch. So Nyheim Hines, like you said, is taking that receiving down work, and he's also taking a couple carries. And Marlon Mack is there now too. Mack got 5 carries last week, Hines got 4. And Taylor is averaging about 50% of the snaps, which for a bell cow back you draft at the end of the first round, you just don't want to see. And,
right.
And I mean, the big plays, like you said, he had 3 catches for 116 yards last week. He had an 83-yard run, the longest run of the season this week. And like, if you're a Jonathan Taylor owner, this is exactly what you want to see. You can probably turn this guy into, I don't know, maybe a top five back, maybe a Zeke Elliott or something like that,
yeah,
where the volume is there. And you know that you're not going to have to rely on the big plays. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, 15 total touches in this game. I mean, he's getting the yards and he's getting the big plays, but it's not, you don't know if it's sustainable without the high volume.
Right, and I think that that's something that is going to be a huge theme for us, right? It's about sustainability. You know, there's going to be times when, yeah, Taylor breaks in the big play. But when I'm looking at sustainability and a guy that I want to target right now, if you're a tight end needy team, Dalton Schultz is a guy that I love. And it's not a flashy name. It's not a guy who was even drafted, really. But Dalton Schultz, I mean, we're talking about in 5 of the 6 games, he's had 6 receptions. So that is a consistent player. He scored upwards of 12 points in 4 of his 6 games. That's the type of production that we're looking for in a guy. Like, it doesn't need to be every game's going to be the best, but it's just kind of moving along the chains. On the contrary to that, we have CeeDee Lamb this week. CeeDee Lamb is such an interesting case study to me, Colin, because, you know, there are weeks when he's not good. He puts up 37 points this week, including that bomb in overtime to win the game. What do you make of CeeDee Lamb's performance? Is this a guy that you want to hold on to and sort of just ride with? Or was this kind of more of a fluke?
Yeah, I don't think it was a fluke, honestly. I think CeeDee Lamb, I mean, he got the most targets among Dallas wide receivers or pass catchers.
Yeah.
And I mean, Amari Cooper's there, but CeeDee Lamb, when he gets the ball in his hands, like, you just watch him.
He's electric.
He's so electric. It is insane. I mean, he created 3 or 4 yards of separation from the 1-yard line on a fade route, which you just don't see. Like, he didn't have to moss the defender on a 1-yard goal line target. He just outran him in the span of 4 or 5 yards. And, I mean, Michael Gallup is going to come back, but CeeDee Lamb is just so talented. He's outpaced everyone in this offense. I mean, if you can, I mean, 37-point week, if you can get maybe like a Stephon Diggs or something, you know, if you can get one of these upper echelon wide receivers, you know, maybe try to do that. But don't sell high for the sake of selling high. I think if you can get someone amazing, I mean, I would go for it, but CeeDee Lamb, it is unfortunate he is going to his bye week, so it'll be tough to sell him now. You might want, if you can sell to maybe a team at the upper half of the league, maybe who doesn't necessarily need a win right now, maybe you can try to do that, get someone really good. But, you know, he's the number 9 wide receiver, PPR, number 8 in standard.
Yeah.
So, like, he's just electric. He's going to do the most with the targets that he gets. I mean, he had a stretch, I mean, two catches, 13 yards in a couple weeks ago, 3 catches, 66 yards the week before. Obviously, that game, he had a 40-something yard catch, got tackled at the 1 yard line. So, you know, I think you hold on to this guy, maybe try to sell him high, but don't sell him just for the sake of selling him.
No, I agree. So a couple more here in the buy, sell, or hold category here. The next one I had is Tyler Boyd. And to me, this is the clearest sell of the week. If you can get someone, I mean, listen, obviously you're not selling that high. He had one reception for 7 yards in this game. But it's pretty clear, given in the games that he's been the number two receiver when T. Higgins has been out, is drastically different to when T. Higgins has been in. So in the three games that T. Higgins has been in, he's averaging 34 yards per game. Yeah. And it's just been a huge difference. I mean, you can see it right away, right? In the games that T. Higgins was out, he got 14 points, 13 points, 20 points. The games T. Higgins was in, he got 6 points, 6 points, and 1 point. So that's the difference of T. Higgins. So this is a guy where if you can talk someone else into getting rid of Tyler Boyd, you get rid of him. I mean, right now he's wide receiver 41, but to the extent that you're relying on this guy to be some PPR weapon in the slot, right now he's acting as the number three receiver, and Burrow's just not going to target him that much. So that's a guy that if you can unload Tyler Boyd, because right now he's just not startable. Another guy that's just not startable right now is Myles Gaskin. This is one of those, I mean, these players happen every year. Myles Gaskin is a guy that right now he got 3 points this week. You just can't start him. I mean, you could arguably dump him at this point. It's gotten to that dire of a situation. There's really no Dolphins running backs worth starting. They're a 1-5 team, so you're going to get that. But I'm very off the Myles Gaskin train, very off anything in the Dolphins. So if you can get any kind of value for Gaskin on name recognition from someone in your league that might be, you know, not paying that much attention, try to dump him. Try to dump guys like that. Another buy candidate that I really love, if you can buy low – or just really simply acquire it all, Tim Patrick. This is a guy who's probably going to be on the bench of a lot of people's teams, but he scored a touchdown this week, and I think Tim Patrick is really one of the most underrated players in the league. He's a really solid, especially if you play PPR. He's just a really solid option to me, so try to target someone like that.
Yeah, I think for this Broncos offense, it is important to note Jerry Jeudy will be coming back eventually.
Yeah,
it's not a set timetable. I think he's out a minimum of 8 weeks or something like that. And so for Tim Patrick, like, he has 15.9 points week five, 13.2 week six, and he's probably going to keep up the constant double-digit production for the next few weeks. And then at that point, you probably can trade him.
Right.
And with Jerry Jeudy coming back, you know, you can probably get some kind of value. And for Gaskin, like, he had 32 points a week ago. You have to have traded him after that
game. Yeah, that was, if you didn't trade him then, like, I'm sorry that we started the podcast a week too late.
Yeah, I have a league. I have Gaskin, and I traded him and Damian Williams, and I got Daryl Henderson. And, like,
that's unbelievable.
I cannot believe we got Daryl Henderson. Like, I am so high on Daryl Henderson the rest of the season. And I mean, Gaskin comes in 5 carries for 9 yards.
Yeah, like, to the extent you have anyone in your league that's dumb enough to you can unload Gaskin to, do that right now. That's like, right now, pause the podcast and go find someone to trade into, because I'm just so off of that. I don't think you can really comfortably start him. So I just want to hit one or two more here before we move on to our next segment. The next one I have here is Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette has been unbelievable this year in fantasy. I mean, he's running back 11 so far this year, and he got 22 carries and 2 touchdowns in this last game Thursday night against Philly. What do you make here of Fournette?
I mean, this is one of the highest powered offenses in the entire league, and he is the lone back there. Starting running back now in Tampa, he had 125 total yards and a couple touchdowns, then also 6 catches.
That's the part that's unbelievable to me. It's because you think of Fournette as this, you know, and
the early down bruiser.
The early down bruiser, and then on third down he's coming off the field and someone else can get in the game to make the catches. But if he's gonna get this many catches, I mean, he's had anywhere from 3 to 6 receptions in all 6 of his games this year. So this is a guy in Fournette that I'm personally just a believer in. I think that at this point, at some point, you got to just say with some of these guys, you know, now we've hit week 6, we're taking the turn to week 7. I think it's real at this point for someone like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is not a game where Gio Bernard was out. Gio Bernard was in this game.
That's a great point.
He recorded 2 catches, and he's honestly going to be, I think Fournette is going to be the guy. I mean, Ronald Jones has hands made of stone. He can't catch. And Fournette, 6 catches for 46 yards is a PPR floor that, like, is just insane. And then being on the field for 60%+ of snaps in this offense, it's fantastic. I think he's going to be probably a top 17
running
back rest of season.
For sure. All right, so I think we hit pretty good that part. And just one more hold to – there's just one or two people to not panic about. Austin Eckler, don't panic about that.
Yeah,
that
was a crazy trying to target Austin Eckler right now. Yeah,
if to the extent that someone has a in your league has a panic about Austin Eckler, go for it. Yeah. This is not a long-term thing. Eckler is going to be totally fine. This was one fluke game. They lost 34-6. He's still running back. Despite only getting 9.5 in this game, he's still running back 2 on the season.
The man is a beast. He still got 4 catches for 48 yards. He's going to give you probably 8 floor points in PPR no matter what happens. I mean, the past 2 weeks, 29.5 points and 30.9 points. Do not worry about Austin Eckler. If you can find someone who is worried about Austin Eckler,
then go for it. Give anything. Because I right now think that if we were starting a season from scratch right now and was a new draft, I'd probably obviously take Henry first. Eckler might be second or third.
Yeah,
he's that good.
He is like, I don't know if you've seen his videos on Instagram, but this guy is like jacked.
Yeah.
And he is like he's just massive, and he's not like tall, but he's built. And he's a guy that like the last 2 years he's been at the end of the first round, and I'm like, sometimes I get an early pick, I'm like, I wish I was at the end of the first round so I could take like maybe Mixon and Eckler or something like that. Then I end up taking Dalvin Cook this year, and Eckler has been so much better than Dalvin Cook. And I mean, he's just criminally underrated, and I think at the end of this season he's going to be a top 5 fantasy pick for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So now I want to kind of transition into our waiver wire pickups for the week. So we mentioned at the onset of the show that this week is just brutal for teams in terms of buys. You know, there's no fantasy roster in the league pretty much that has no one on any of those teams with buys. So when we evaluate the field in terms of buys, there's going to be, especially at the running back position, there's just going to be teams where there's so little depth. So where do you kind of look from here on the waiver wire in terms of depth, especially at the running back position?
Yeah, you know, Darnell Johnson is going to be the top guy.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb is out for his timetable is a little shaky. I'm not sure, but we know Kareem Hunt is out for at least
4 to 6 weeks.
So. And so Darnell Johnson, especially in a Thursday night game, I think we know Nick Chubb is ruled out for this game. So Darnell Johnson is going to be the bell cow against the Broncos, and so
that's a great stream.
Yeah, for fab wise, I mean, it depends on where you're at, but in this week of buys with Eckler out, with Zeke out,
if you're really Dalvin desperate, he's definitely the premier
streaming
option. And fab wise, I mean, it depends obviously how much you have left. It's tough at this point in the season to ask for percentages. But
yeah, maybe like, I don't know, like if you have $100 left, which is probably not true, maybe $20, $25.
I mean, if you're really that desperate, he's definitely the premier streaming option. Some other guys I would look at, though, is J.D. McKissick, not in terms of just this week. I mean, that's a guy that's a streaming option. That's a next man up. J.D. McKissick's a guy that has potentially some standalone value and has a lot of value because Antonio Gibson can't stay on the field. So this is a guy that's owned right now in 46% of ESPN League. So definitely check your waiver wire to see if McKissick's around, because he has some standalone PPR value. He's on pace for 71 receptions this year. And if Gibson's out and he has to miss this week, which is looking like trending towards his shin, could end up being an issue this week. That's a guy that I would 100% look to pick up, just because it's not just for this week, but he's a guy I would love. I mean, obviously, we saw the impact that a guy like Darrell Williams had in last week's game. And then Khalil Herbert, if that guy's still available in your league, go for
it.
I mean, obviously, a lot of people picked him up to try to stream him with Damian Williams out because of COVID, but Herbert was great last week against the Packers. And I think that even when Williams comes back from COVID, it's going to be – Williams will be lucky to have, you know, the same role that he kind of assumed when Montgomery was there. So that's a guy that if he somehow wasn't picked up in your league, go for him.
Yeah, and for Gibson, I mean, he had an MRI yesterday. I don't see an update on him, but there's a decent chance he misses time. And so McKissick is the next man up, and he's profiled as an only passing down specialist, like a James White type, but he's on the field. He was on the field for 61% of snaps last week, and that could be because Casey was blowing them out late, but also he got 8 carries and 8 catches, which is crazy. And he's the kind of guy, I mean, as a Washington football team fan, like, he was being, I think you could say he was being overused because of how good Gibson was, but McKissick is a very solid back, and I mean, next man up there would obviously be Jarrett Patterson for Washington. I don't think he's going to really do much, especially in a matchup against Green Bay, where Washington will probably, it hurts me to say it, but they'll probably be scoreboard chasing there. And so McKissick will probably get 8 or 9 targets and probably the same amount of catches. The way that he's been utilized in this offense, I think he's a great pickup.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So another guy that I want to highlight here, if you're getting really desperate at the receiver position, you have a couple options this week. Khalif Raymond is a guy that's rostered in 4.8% of leagues. So that's a guy, I mean, you're kind of chasing the river on him. You're hoping for a touchdown. He had those two touchdowns against the Bears a few weeks ago. But that's a guy that I look at in terms of his target shares. There's just no one in that Lions offense. So that's a guy that's definitely I would be interested in streaming. The other one, and this may sound obvious, AJ Green is not picked up in a lot of leagues. He's only owned in 33% of ESPN leagues. You want to get part of that Cardinals offense in any way you can. And AJ Green, I mentioned that he's out targeting DeAndre Hopkins right now. So that's a guy that is kind of like, oh, AJ Green, he's washed, a veteran. Like, that's really boring. But again, this is the type of point I'll make. Like, you have to kind of work past those preconceived notions and biases in whatever direction you have and just look at, listen, for whatever reason, AJ Green, we can say maybe he's washed, whatever. He's getting targets in the, and he's getting a huge share of the Cardinals offense, which is one of the most explosive ones in the league. So especially if you're just looking to stream a guy, that's definitely a direction I would look.
Yeah, and AJ Green has had more consistent target share than DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. Like, you would just think about it, be like, there's no way. But when you actually dig into the stats, you realize, like, oh, wow. Like, this guy actually, if you just did a blindfold of AJ Green versus DeAndre Hopkins in terms of targets and whatever, you'd be like, you would think it was reversed. So that's a guy that I would look towards. It's obviously, he's not going to, you know, just go lighting up the scoreboard, but if you can get something from AJ Green, you can pick him up in your league. That's a guy who I think you really would, who you really want to target.
Yeah, and for Green, I mean, this is an offense, like we said, that is going to spread the ball around no matter what, and that is to the detriment of someone like DeAndre Hopkins, but to the benefit of someone like AJ Green, because Green is not a top 10 wide receiver every week like Hopkins is going to be ranked as, and so you have him as your flex or your third wide receiver, and he has a chance to put up 20 points any given week.
Right, for sure. Any other pickups that stand out to you before we get into some more stuff about...
You know, Amon-Ra St. Brown on the Lions.
Yeah, that's another one that stood out to me, just like Khalif Raymond.
Is an interesting option. He has been upticking in roster percentage on Sleeper. He's up at over 50%, which I think is good.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I mean, in that offense, there's St. Brown, there's DeAndre Swift, there's T.J. Hockenson, and then Khalif Raymond, like you said, is a bit of a fringe option. And then also, Ramondre Stevenson for the Patriots. Damien Harris has been dealing with a lot of injuries. And this is a running game that has been really good. Harris had over 100 yards rushing and then went off the field for a goal line carry that was given to Stevenson. And then Stevenson also got 3 catches. So I think, you know, he's going to have a role regardless of a Harris injury. But if there is a Harris injury, he'll probably project for maybe 15-plus touches. And they're playing against the Jets next week.
Yeah, for sure. I think those are all really good streaming options. And the other one that could be interesting, Sony Michel only got 4 points last week, and Henderson obviously has the share of the backfield. But if you're just looking at next man up, evaluative ways to go, just looking at, you know, trying to chase basically people to add to your roster that aren't rostered, that can be put in big situations for someone to go down, Sony Michel's a great candidate for that personally. I think that would be a really good one. I mean, Alex Collins, the same way Alex Collins just stepped up when Chris Carson went down. That's the kind of offense where someone is always able to produce, whoever is in at running back there. And obviously, I mean, Sony Michel, listen, it's not like he's one of the best backs in the league, but as we're seeing,
he's a high quality backup.
Yeah, he's a backup, and I mean, he doesn't even need to be high quality. And then,
just like talent wise.
And then another thing is you're evaluating the Ravens' backfield. I just think you stay away from it. I mean, Tyson Williams has been in. He was the number one guy. Then he was behind in a timeshare with Latavius Murray. Then he was
He's relegated to.
Then he was a
healthy.
Healthy scratch. Yeah. Now he's kind of back. So the Ravens' backfield right now, I mean, Devonta Freeman's getting the work. Then it's Latavius Murray. Then Le'Veon Bell all of a sudden gets a goal line touch and scores. Yeah. So it's tempting to go with someone because of name recognition, someone like Devonta Freeman or Le'Veon Bell or whatever. It's tempting to be like, oh, let's just plug and play those guys. But I just stay away from the Ravens' backfield. I mean, you're just chasing a touchdown there.
Yeah, and Lamar, like, even though Lamar didn't rush for a touchdown, he is their goal line back.
Yes.
Like,
and just generally, he's their check down option is not a running back in the flat. Their check down option is Lamar running the ball.
Yeah, and I mean, Tyson showed off in the first week that he is an electric back. And I mean, the backfield tandem of sorts of Devonta Freeman, Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell sounds like a song from 2015. But I mean, in the Ravens offense, like a big play that, you know, Devonta Freeman might break a big play and get chased down. Tyson Williams would probably break the same big play and not get chased down. Like, and so I just, in a funny thing, in one of my leagues, I had Tyson and I traded him and CEH after week one for Aaron Jones. And
wow, that is.
And CEH even have a good
why,
week
see,
one.
This is why we have a fantasy football podcast. We're just finessing our opponents in the league.
I mean, it's what you got to do. You got to, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like name recognition after the draft.
Name recognition,
like,
of course.
Like, he's been just really bad. And so, you know, that backfield you definitely want to stay away from. And then also just real quick, a tight end streamer, Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah, that's a good stream.
From Washington. He got a touchdown on a bit of a busted coverage last week, but he got, four or five targets. And for a year where tight end – actually, no, he got six targets last week. And he caught four for 58 yards and a touch. And so – I mean, in a NFL where tight ends are just at an absolute premium, Ricky Seals-Jones is the top streamer. Mm-hmm.
And then I have a couple more wide receiver stream options available to you. T.Y. Hilton, we talked about name recognition and biases. This is a bias in the direction where he's been hurt all season. He's kind of been washed. Last week was his first game. He got 10 points. He had four targets. He caught all four. So that's a guy who, to me, could potentially be really interesting just because Pittman's targets went way down the first week. Paris Campbell's hurt. So T.Y. Hilton, a guy, I mean, the Colts are not one of the best teams in the league. This is not a guy you think of as going to be the best player. But T.Y. Hilton is really intriguing to me. And then I just have a couple more options here before we wrap up.
If only T.Y. Hilton can play the Texans every week.
Yeah. I mean, T.Y. Hilton's career has been destroying the Texans. And then a couple more options I have. Mecole Hardman, a guy who we think of Mecole Hardman as being this super big risk-reward guy. But I mean, Mecole Hardman has been pretty consistent here. I mean, he got four receptions for 62 yards last week. Another guy to stream, and I mean, yeah, you're chasing. Obviously, there's always the Mecole Hardman chance of, you know, the bomb touchdown, or there's the sneaky end-around touchdowns that the Chiefs can do, that funky stuff on the goal line. So Mecole Hardman's a guy that I think of as a potential streaming option. He's rostered in about 50% of ESPN leagues right now. So that's another guy I would think of. So there's a lot of stuff floating around. Obviously, at this point in the season, the depth here is not great. You have a ton of teams on buys. The teams that aren't on buy, there's a lot of players banged up. So there's sort of all these options. And obviously, at the end of the day, fantasy football, so much of it just comes down to who's scoring those touchdowns. But there's so much we can evaluate in terms of looking into how those touchdowns are being generated that can sort of be instructive. And next week, hopefully, these teams will come off buys. People will get more healthy. And fantasy will become a little less murky.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like you said, we're going to wrap up here. But one last thing, I think, you know, with a bunch of guys going on bye, it is important to plan ahead more. And like I picked up Ryan Tannehill in preparation for my Josh Allen bye, and Ryan Tannehill is playing against the Chiefs. You know, I did that last week just so I wouldn't have to deal with the waiver wire. So just plan ahead a little bit. Just look over your team construction as it stands, and then, you know, try to make some waiver moves before, you know, the waiver wire frenzy heats up.
Yep, exactly. So, all right, thank you guys so much for listening to our first ever Fantasy Finessers podcast in the books. I think it was a pretty good start, and we're going to keep going all throughout the rest of the fantasy football season. There's so much to get to every week, and we'll be back. Colin, thank you. It was a great first episode.
Absolutely, yeah. Looking forward to a couple more.
All right, thank you guys for listening. I'm Maddie Wasserman signing off, and we'll see you next time on the Fantasy Finessers podcast.